call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, Meetings Law 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Thompson.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Conrad.
Here.
McDonald.
Here.
Torres.
Here.
Leva.
Here.
Okay, first up, we have a proclamation for the Washington Junior EMS Squad. Come on up, folks. Y'all ready to have your picture taken?
Mm-hmm.
You got all set? Rachel, you taking the pictures?
No, I'm not.
No, you're taking the pictures. Nobody brought a camera for you?
Okay.
Terrible. Okay, this is a proclamation of the Borough of Washington. Whereas a team of five members of the Washington Junior EMS Squad won first place in the Clinton First Aid and Rescue Squad's Regional Future Stars of EMS competition on December 8, 2012. And whereas the participants, Lisa Apgar, Darian Duffel, Alexandra Spinks, Raymond Sweet, and Tim Van Dursen competed against six teams consisting of junior emergency medical squad members from Warren, Hunterdon, Somerset, and Mercer counties. And whereas the competition comprised of five different real-life scenarios, the first were medical stations involving allergic reactions and cardiac arrest, two trauma stations, and lastly, the competitors faced a mass casualty incident. And whereas the Washington Borough Junior EMS Squad offers young members a unique opportunity to serve their community, as well as developing them to become accomplished, self-sacrificing, and conscientious citizens. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by Scott McDonald, Mayor of the Borough of Washington and the County of Warren, State of New Jersey, that the heartfelt congratulations and appreciation of the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Washington and all its inhabitants are hereby expressed to the Washington Borough Junior EMS Squad and are recognized for countless hours of unselfish volunteer work in order to maintain the act of saving lives for families in the Borough of Washington and surrounding communities. Be it further proclaimed that this proclamation be duly embossed, signed by the mayor, publicly presented to the Washington Borough Junior EMS Squad on February 5th, and forever recorded in the official records of the Borough of Washington as an everlasting tribute to the Washington Borough Junior EMS Squad by an appreciative and thankful community. Presented on the 5th day of February, 2013. Congratulations. Okay, next up we have our correspondence.
Okay, motion to receive and file.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on the correspondence?
Let's do an approval after we accept it.
Okay. Hearing no other discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I'll make a motion to allow Sunday, April 14th, 2003.
13.
What did I say, 2003?
Yeah. You're off by 10 years.
There's a typographical error on mine.
Oh, okay.
I do like that. 2013 for the date of the rummage sale and April 28th, that's 2013.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. And we have our minutes of January 12th and 15th.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Is there any discussion on either of the minutes?
Just to add to the January 15th one, under my remarks, that I requested the executive session minutes.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Aye.
I abstained on January 15th. And,
okay.
January 12th.
Any,
it's a rough night.
Any already. Objections? Any abstentions? Council appearance. Mr. Pahorley, let's start with you. Mr. Horley is here representing the Shade Tree Commission.
Well, actually, I am a member of the Shade Tree Commission, but I am not, I'm just Gary Horley, resident.
Okay.
And well, I reside at 115 Wayne Street, for the record. But I'm here tonight looking for your support, not financial support, but I just looking for your support on a project I've been kind of laying the groundwork for the past few months, which would involve, well, the planting of, well, primarily trees, but it can also include shrubs and flowers to improve properties in the borough, public and private. And we would, funding would come about from either grants or donations or fundraising. Now, there's two components to this. There's publicly owned property and privately owned property. Now, the borough owns a number of properties, and I thought for this particular project, I would try to focus on two. The one property would be the, there's an open space area by the sewage treatment plant that the community garden currently uses. It's a large area that's it's grassy and has a detention basin. And I also happen to be a member of the community garden, and we had a meeting about 2 weeks ago, and I said, hey, would you be willing to support this project? Would you help us out and try to improve the project, you know, planting trees and shrubs and that kind of thing? And they said, of course, no, they would. And the other property that I was looking at was the, it's over by Memorial School. The newer development there was developed by Carlton Homes, and there was a large open space area that was left there. I guess there's what you could call our little league field is there, and there's a small soccer field, and then beyond that, there's another large open space area that's basically grassy with a large detention basin. So I thought maybe a natural partner for that would be the Memorial School. So I called Superintendent Rosa, Lance Rosa, and I said, do you think there'll be any interest in the school being involved in planting of trees and shrubs, improving the property? Maybe that, maybe there could be a teacher or two or three that might want to make that part of their curriculum, and then maybe they could use that property for ecology, biology, you know, botany, whatever. And he said he was interested. So if you give me the blessing tonight, I'm hoping to go to their Board of Ed meeting, which is next Monday, and talk to them and, you know, to the Board of Ed and to the superintendent about that project. So, but the idea behind this is to, again, gather information and improve these two properties, which to me are kind of blah, and they're constantly maintained by the borough. And ultimately, I think these properties could be improved with plantings. They could be more attractive for the residents that reside there, the people that pass by. And maybe ultimately, we wouldn't have to maintain those properties. It's sort of, I don't know, for those of you who have lived here long enough, if you knew Memorial School before the Butterfly Garden and then after the Butterfly Garden, I don't envision these to become butterfly gardens, but that's the kind of idea behind this. But it's also to involve the community, too. That's why I reached out to the community garden people and then a Memorial School. And then the other part of this is private property. And I have met with Sandy Ceremi of BID and talked to her, and she thought it was a good idea. And, you know, she's willing to help me out. And I know she's busy, but all I would need for her to do is to just hook me up with the whatever property owners who really want to talk to, and I could just take it from there. Also, I just want to mention, too, that I, every year, well, I guess for the past 15 years, I do a spring and sometimes a fall cleanup with a Warren Hills Environmental Service club called SAVE, Students Against Vandalizing the Earth. And Jesse O'Neill, who's a history teacher there, he's a real good guy. He's the advisor. And I said, hey, Jesse, do you think the students would be interested in planting trees? And he said, yes. So there's another, like, local group that could, you know, possibly help with the project. And I just want to say that our next cleanup is March 23rd. I'll send you an email. But Christine's been helping me with that because that comes out of the Clean Communities program. So at this point, I need two things from you. One, just the idea that you support this, especially working on the two publicly owned properties, because I did run it by these projects by the Shade Tree Commission, and they're supportive of it, but Kathy Halpin, who's the chair, said that they wouldn't have jurisdiction over, say, these two particular public properties. Our jurisdiction is either the borough park or right-of-ways, like along roads. Mm-hmm. So like I said, the Shade Tree Commission is also supportive of the project, but they can't have oversight over it. So I would need your blessing to work on that. But ultimately, we would need a committee to oversee the entire project, the planning on private and publicly owned properties, which kind of coincides with something that one of our Shade Tree commissioners pointed out to me. There's something called Sustainable Jersey. I think it's a nonprofit group that I think most municipalities in New Jersey are involved in, and they have a website. I think they're a nonprofit group, but they support projects like this. They have grants that are available, and there's no obligation to the borough. The only obligation to the borough would be you need to pass a resolution, and I think Christine said there may have been one passed in 2010. But I think that's outdated now, because every 3 years you have to be recertified. I don't know if you ever became certified, but you have to become certified, and then the only other requirement is that you need a committee, which is what I would need. So I need your support. So,
Gary, good question.
Yes.
How you doing tonight, anyway?
Good. How are you?
Good. The only question I have is basically, who's going to maintain the gardens once they're established?
That's a good question, because I think some of the public properties that we have now are poorly maintained or not maintained. I guess we don't have manpower. Mm-hmm. And again, I was hoping that this, for instance, and I can't guarantee the long-term maintenance, but for instance, this SAVE student group, I thought a group like that could maybe take ownership, because my idea is that if you're involved in planning something, then it's sort of like your baby, and then I was hoping that then we could continue to maintain that. Well, there may be other groups or organizations in town that I haven't reached out to or I'm not aware of that could help with that, because I noticed that myself just walking around town. There are properties that are weedy, and we own them, but I realize we don't have the manpower or the staff to maintain them. So yeah, maintenance was certainly something that I would.
You're looking to make them into a low maintenance / no maintenance.
I'll make them into low maintenance, but I think part of it too ultimately would be that we would try to maintain properties to the best we could.
Well, I'm talking more about the borough owned properties.
Okay, right, yeah. right.
But you're talking about trees around the community garden, blocking sun, or are you talking more for shrubs and flowers?
Well, they could go along the driveway, like you can make a row if you wanted to do that, and then you could plant some on the north side of the garden. So on the north side, of course, it wouldn't be shading. And you could have something lower, like a dogwood, a flowering dogwood or something like that, that doesn't grow really high, but it could still provide shade.
The dwarf.
To people.
Like semi-dwarf.
Something, right, small. It doesn't get, like, I wouldn't want a 40-foot tree there, and then it falls and,
right,
crushes the fence that they have there.
Kind of thing.
Right.
I had a question. Does the Green Tree Committee have to be a governing body committee?
It would definitely have citizen representation on it. I think there would be one council member that would need to be on it, if I remember correctly, but I'd have to look it up again.
They say here that they need someone from the Environmental Commission, which we don't have one, but maybe it could be a Shade Tree. Operations and Maintenance, Planning and Zoning. I'm on the Planning Board. I don't know if that would count.
Yeah, we're multiple hats.
I can cover it. But they want a variety of people on the committee, and there's no set number or that you would need on the committee.
Gary, I would just feel a little bit more comfortable if there's a little bit more concrete plans as to exactly what you were, going to be putting where and stuff. Because the mayor brought up a good point. In the community garden, if you, in all your wisdom, decided, okay, it's good to plant trees there, and then some of the gardeners objected because there's a little sunlight is blocked or whatever, I just don't want to could force maybe some problems. So I don't know if, you know, you could just get something a little more together.
Well, I mean, I could give you a little more information about the project, but I can't say exactly what would be planted there because all along through this process, I've been in touch with Christine, and I certainly would keep her updated on everything we do, and hopefully she would report back to you. But also with, say, the community garden, I would work with the garden, because that's why I went to their meeting and reached out to them, and I would want them to get their input, because I can't, I'm not a landscape architect. I don't really know what would be the best to be planted there or how it could be designed. I mean, I have some ideas, but other people may have other opinions or more expertise than me. So
this is going to come about by the committee that you're going to start.
Well, the committee and the community groups that we work with.
Okay.
And certainly, like I said, I would keep Christine in mind, and if she says, oh, well, they're going to plant 10 dogwoods, and you say, oh, that's terrible, they should have 5 dogwoods, and they should be looking this way, you could, I mean, we would want your input, too, on the whole process.
So what two things are you looking for again tonight?
Well, I just need your, I guess, blessing that we could do something on these two publicly owned properties, and then we have a committee.
Well, I'll make the motion to go forward with this.
Well, before you do that, I know Dave has something he wanted to ask, so.
Yes, thanks. It was kind of along the line there of what Councilman Torres was asking. First of all, I want to say I'm in favor. Okay, but how would the resolution be drafted to know what's going in there? You know, you don't want to put in 40-foot trees, I understand that, and you guys probably know better than we do, 10 dogwoods versus 5 dogwoods, the whole nine yards. I'm looking at it as a safety issue. You know, is it going to be designed, and who is going to design it, how is it going to be designed where, especially by the school, if you're putting woods in by the school, you know, where you're going to put trees in by the school, how does that affect the safety?
I wouldn't do it by the school.
In the field, though.
It would be behind the soccer field?
Way far away, like behind the soccer field, if you know where the soccer field is. It wouldn't be, there's no buildings at all near there.
Are there any wetlands back there that you know of, Gary?
No. Maybe the deepest part of the detention basin gets a little wet.
Yeah, I mean, some of the other area looks like it's wetland, so that would be my only concern back in there.
No, it's pretty high and dry. Maybe in the wooded area, but I think that might be township property.
Okay.
But I
know that creek runs in that general vicinity.
Yeah, but
exactly
we wouldn't go into the woods, the wooded part.
That's where the creek is running?
Yeah. I think the grassed area is all upland, I think, for the most part.
Okay. Do you have something else?
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea, and, you know, what's interesting is how you came about with the private property, you know, beautification, if you would, as well. Did you talk to some homeowners that are interested in doing this,
Well, yeah. I haven't spoken to anybody in the private sector.
Yeah.
I was going to focus more on commercial properties along Route 31 in the downtown, and that would be totally voluntary.
Right.
Like, I certainly couldn't make them
plant
something. I have a few properties in mind, but I wanted to work with Sandy and to reach out to them. So I really want to say who they are, but
okay.
I think they have some real potential.
It's interesting. Okay, good. Thanks.
Cleva, if you'd like to make your motion now, we've got all the questions out of the way.
So there's two motions, right? Is there two motions?
I think we could do it with one just to approve Mr. Pahorley going forward with the plans that he has presented.
Yeah, I'd like to make that motion.
And I guess coming back to us when he has more solid plans.
Sure. I'd be more than happy to come here as often as possible to keep you updated.
My motion doesn't include the committee thing and the green.
Yeah, I think that would be a little premature. Let's get into the planning process
right.
And what they want a little further, I think. Okay, we have the motion and the second. Okay, any other discussion?
It's a motion in support of.
Support of what Gary has presented here. Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Q. keep us updated, Gary.
Okay, so you want more info on the committee and how this all would come about?
Right.
Okay. I'll be back next month.
Okay.
When's your next meeting?
2 weeks.
I'll be back.
Thank you for taking the initiative to...
Oh, yeah, no
the
problem.
Betterment of the community. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're welcome. Well, I've been dwelling on this for a while, and I'm thinking, well, I'm not getting any younger.
None of us are.
So, all right. Thank you.
All right, next up we have Veolia.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Larry Murphy. I'm the area manager for Veolia Water in New York, New Jersey. And this is Kevin Schaut, our project manager here. I'm sure everybody knows Kevin. We wanted to come and talk to you about some of the capital upgrades that were included as potential add-ons in the most recent contract that was executed back in December 2011. So we prepared a little bit of a snapshot, if you will, of some of the presentation materials that were prepared for the borough back in 2011. And back in that time, on the first sheet, you'll see there was underground asset management, energy, repair and maintenance, lift stations, and so on. And part of that, on the second page then, were the capital upgrades that were included specifically in the contract amendment for consideration. The first of the projects, the headworks, has commenced. The borough is paying us on a monthly basis for that. That has started. We're getting ready to order the equipment now, and it'll be installed sometime early to midsummer. The underground asset management and data plan and the orbital and post-aeration project, which will yield energy savings, those were put off for your consideration without any kind of cost increases until the end of 2012. I met briefly with the sewer board in December. They asked for a 4-month extension to freeze the cost, and I said, sure, least I can do for you. And then with the provision that I would come before the full council to address the matters and see if you have any questions, and then so you can consider moving forward on these. The next couple of pages, we go through the capital needs, the comminuter. That's the headworks. We've got current conditions that aren't that great. That's why it was decided to go ahead and put in some new screening equipment. Then we get to the underground assets, and it was proposed that we more or less come up with additions to a new what they call geographic information system, basically taking physical information, putting it in a computer program so that it's easily accessed, so that it's easily categorized and organized, so that further upgrades could be contemplated, so you can start figuring out, what's going wrong out there, so that you can better plan on the future and what you might need. So we're going to start with digitizing the existing collection system data, assemble records. We're going to go in and videotape each of the manholes within the community, view them, rank them in terms of the severity of any leakage going into them that's contributing to what we call inflow and infiltration into the collection system, which then comes out down at the plant. Additional costs are incurred for chemicals and electricity, which the borough pays, to move all this water through the plant. In addition, we were going to organize all the data, like I said, into the GIS system, what we call the InfoNet database.
Is that a proprietary database, or is that?
It's off the shelf.
Okay.
We've just taken it from plain vanilla to suit our needs on a Veolia-wide basis all over the country. And so basically we're just adding you as another system into that larger program, if you will. It's less expensive that way. That way you don't pay for a new proprietary kind of piece of software. We've got the base all set and ready for you. The other project was dealing with energy conservation. We've got automation and control of the air blowers and the orbital oxygen system. We're going to put a couple of variable frequency drives on some motors. More or less, what happens right now, the motors are all set to run at a certain speed all the time, but the flow into the plant isn't constant like that. It varies. It goes up and it goes down. So to have this constantly running motor going too fast or faster than it needs to go, you're burning energy that you don't need to burn. So with these VFDs, what happens is we gauge the amount of oxygen in the water, DO, the dissolved oxygen in the water, and when there isn't enough, the motors speed up automatically. When there's too much, then the motors slow down, again, thereby saving you electricity. This is in conjunction with not only monitoring the DO, putting in equipment for that, taking it back to the computer system, which then says, oh, too fast, too slow, sends out a signal to the motors to slow down, speed up, that kind of thing. It's tying into the existing SCADA system for the plant, SCADA supervisory control and data acquisition. It's the brains of the plant, if you will. It's taking in the information, processing it against our known operation scenarios, and then acting on that, if you will, and collecting data as well. And then in addition on that, we're going to, we were proposing to do upgrades on the blower, the air blower controls. And on the last page, we had the cost that we had proposed to the council back in 2011. And again, the headworks is underway.
Have you done any type of a return on investment sort of study as to the energy conservation kind of things, as to how much it would save or anything of that nature?
I don't have any of those numbers in front of me.
I think it was originally, I think it was, I'm not positive, don't hold me to it. I'm pretty sure it was 17% savings they'd estimate off of going this way, off the electric bill. And I think it was 2.5 to 3 year payback. The system would be paid off at the current cost of the electric per kilowatt hour right now.
Now, if you want, I can do some calculations on the backside and get something to you.
If you could confirm what Kevin said there, yeah, just that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are there grant funds available to fund this sort of thing?
I haven't found any yet, but we'll keep looking for that as well.
I think that when we talked about the energy savings and the pumps, when we had our meeting, we discussed the solar field coming on. And we talked about an energy savings there where we were going to have, actually the cost per kilowatt hour that they were charging us was going to be like half the price. And also with the pumps. I remember the conversation about how many have you replaced with the aeration pumps for the oil?
Through the life of the contract right now, we have replaced two of them with energy efficient motors.
Okay. So that when this motor, because of the running or whatever, the wear and tear, it breaks. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Who's responsible right now under the contract we have to replace that?
We are responsible.
Okay, so what you're asking us to do, and we discussed it that night, is to go out there and pay for new pumps that are variable speed to replace what you have right now, right?
Well, there's two ways to do it. There was capacitors that could be put on the equipment now,
mm-hmm.
but it would cut the life cycle down on what is installed now.
Right.
And the other way is to go, but the motors was the lowest, you know, the lowest cost of that.
All right, here's what I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. Right now we have a contract with you guys to say if that stuff breaks, you replace it. You're coming here to us and saying, can you replace these for us. That's what I'm looking at.
No, the VFDs, the variable frequency drives, the controllers that tell the motor to speed up or slow down, that's separate. That's a separate piece of equipment.
How about if we would go back and look and give you exact price on just the motors alone? You know, come up with the price that way.
How many motors are on there, Kevin?
Four.
And you've replaced two of them already?
Yeah, they're not very expensive. Two motors were replaced. I think the one was, I would say right around 300 for the biggest motor, and the other one was like 150. They're not very expensive.
And again, if you come take a look at the third sheet from the end.
That's part of the end is the savings, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. The third sheet from the end, we're talking about some of the equipment that we're proposing to install. And again, it's the VFDs, it's not the motors themselves.
All right, that's like $21,000 there, right?
That's about right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if they're like $300 each, four is like $1,200 to me.
Right.
Where's the $21,000 for me?
The VFDs are very expensive. You have all your dissolved oxygen probes.
That's the VFD. What is the VFD?
Variable.
V is in vector.
The variable speed.
Right.
Okay. So that would be changing not only the motor, but everything else that goes with it.
You don't necessarily change the motor.
Okay.
VFD is the control for the motor.
It's a control.
It's the thing, it's the starter, if you will. It's allowing the energy, the electricity to pass through it to the motor. So it's basically choking off the juice or letting more through.
So then that would run, that's run by a computer?
Yes.
The sensors and all that other stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have that computer now?
Mm-hmm.
So what would be the addition to it?
Well, the addition is the,
just the thing that
programming to say this signal's coming in, so with this signal you have to do this, that, and the other thing. So there's, you know, the programming involved. There's the additional conduit wiring that's got to, you know, go out essentially all over the plant, because the main control is in the main building, but the sensors are out in the tanks, and then the air blowers are way the heck over on the other side, over by the old detention pond, if you will.
Okay, so what does that do to our contract? Our current contract? If we replace the motors, and we put all this conduit and wiring,
mm-hmm.
What does that do to our contract? Since you guys right now are responsible, because that's us. We put that in. We paid to have that done.
Right.
Right?
What it would do is it would refer back to the extension that was signed in December 2011.
And this was part of the extension.
Right. So that would be part of the extension, so all maintenance costs would be on us.
And replacement costs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because a lot of this equipment comes with a warranty, too. So.
That's true, too. But
so we're covered for a period, and then if it breaks down, then it's on us anyway.
But as part of the discussion in that meeting, we discussed, you know, the opt-out, when it's done, we come down and we inspect, and what needs to be replaced needs to be replaced.
Right.
I'm going to be quite honest with you. You know, we talked about the energy coming from the solar field, and I think this is a want and not a need right now. So I can't see spending the money for it.
Is the cost, is it the $21,000? It's actually times 6 years, so
yes.
It's like 100, what is it, 100 and...
I think it's like 120.
130, almost 132,000.
Yes.
132,000 is the total cost. Can you give a breakout cost between the DO automation versus the post-air blower exchange? And do you have to do both, or is
no,
one more
no, it could be done
than,
separately.
Well, is one more important than the other, or...
Well...
We can't do it all.
Right. I don't think there'd be a lot of savings, because you'd still have to have the programmer in there to reprogram the whole system and everything.
Okay.
So
what's the biggest cost in this energy conservation part of this?
The biggest cost would be the variable frequency drives.
Okay.
Is there any redundancy in them at all? I mean, what happens if one of the VFDs breaks down? Does the motor stop, or
no.
does it just...
No, you can override, because we have that... There's VFDs now on... We have them on three sludge pumps and on a gravity belt thickener. There's two on there. You can override the system and go into manual.
And then it would go back to a binary system where it's on or off, correct?
No, you still would have flexibility. It's just a matter of...
You'd have to do...
It's a matter of watching the computer saying, you know, our level's at XYZ, and, you know, somebody can physically walk out into the electrical room and push a button, and you can raise and lower it that way.
So you say that's currently on the gravity feed pumps?
It's on the sludge return pumps.
All right.
And on the gravity belt thickener.
So was that part of the initial...
Yes.
When the plant was built?
Built, yes it was.
And are they the original?
Yes, they are.
These are nice solid state pieces of equipment. They aren't going to break down off.
Why did you have to replace those two other pumps?
The two other motors?
Yes.
Just wear. You know, they're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It just...
You have to forgive me for being skeptical.
No, no problem.
You know what I mean? Listen, we have two that wear. Broke down. You come to us, it's a great presentation, you know, I mean, I understand the idea of saving money through energy conservation and all that, but how close are we getting to these other two, you know, going by the wayside? And we would be replacing those.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, see that?
But you also have to understand, you're talking motor versus controller.
I understand.
Controllers are
different.
Less taxed, if you will.
I understand. But with the solar field coming in and the contract that you guys signed with us,
mm-hmm.
thank you. You know what I mean? I can't see spending $132,000.
Do you happen to have any kind of figure on the future electrical costs once the field comes in, solar field comes in?
Because
that'll be part that that would have to be part of the recalculation, if you will.
The first part of it is 9.5 cents a kilowatt hour.
Yes, which right now we're being charged 17 cents.
Right.
So it's going down to 9.5. And along with that agreement for the solar field, that if they can't provide us with the amount of energy that they're talking about, they're going to pay our electric bill.
So, yeah, I understand your point.
They have a deadline of March 31st to get their approval from the township land use board with completion by June.
I'm sure
we'll be back with another extension request.
Yeah, that was kind of where
okay,
I was going to go. When that comes in.
Another 120 days.
There we go.
I would understand.
I seen him shake his head. Yes.
Did you?
You did.
Were you working tomorrow?
Yes. Well, do you recall what we've been saying? What savings? You know, the dollar amount.
On what?
By doing this stuff. Do you recall what would we be saving?
Well, if you were 2.5 or 3 years payback and you just more or less halved your cost, then we're up, you know, we're more or less doubling that to 5.5 to 6 years, which is still a decent payback, 15-16% versus 35.
I understand.
That.
In 6 years, you're not going to be around.
Yeah, we will.
We're going to put in a proposal in 2018, and it'll be a competitive proposal. And
we'll be saying, maybe you're not here.
And because to get these savings, they have to put out $132,000.
Right.
So I'm wondering what
well,
are we
yeah, well, are we going to save over a 6 year period? We're paying $132,000. What are we going to
Well,
right.
That's the return on investment that
yeah,
they're talking
sure.
about 5 to 6 years.
But see, I'm stuck on the part that
yes.
if it breaks, you replace it now.
Right now, yes.
Right.
So you know what I'm praying for.
Well, like that, but I think that we should pay a little bit more off in the headwork.
That's why I have a lot of tough
tape. Maybe in like 2 years to revisit this.
Go with that.
Yeah, because we still have to, quite a few years, well, not quite a few years, but we just started paying the headworks this year. Maybe,
right.
like, in 2 years, revisit this after we're paying for the headworks.
Well, we can do a session at a time, too.
I mean, there's actually three different parts.
All right, but see, yeah. My take on this is we really don't have to.
True.
Is because we're going to get the energy savings from the solar field.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
and
listen,
but
they
signed
an agreement saying that if they didn't provide us with 75% of our energy, that they're going to pick up the bill.
Correct?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember
I do.
That either. They,
that was,
they owed us liquidated damages if...
They said that they would pay the bill.
I don't recall. I do not recall that.
I don't recall that in the contract.
Right,
that they would guarantee 75%.
They would. It was guaranteed. Otherwise, that they would pay it. And see, that's what I'm looking at. So, can we find that out for sure? Just in case. And the pumps and the motors and all that other stuff, and, you know, if they continue to run now and you know, something happens to them. I mean, it's worked for 15 years, and you only had to replace two motors?
Yeah.
I think we got a good system. You guys did a good job over there. I don't want to take away from that.
Right.
And we have a state-of-the-art plant. It does everything that you guys promised it would do. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is $132,000. That's what I have a problem with,
mm-hmm.
especially if it's working.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't any reason that we can't revisit it at another time.
Right.
But, you know...
Try 2015.
If we're going,
I'll be off the
you know, for energy savings, you know,
sure.
we're not maximizing. So, you know, as opposed to we'll take half of it now and half of it in two or three more years.
Scott, I got a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I think we're pretty much, you know, honestly, going to wait on the energy savings component of your proposal.
Mm-hmm.
But can you tell us, if you would, on the underground assets, what's the, you know, the importance of that and why, you know, you're justifying that cost if we decide to go forward on that.
Right, right.
That,
essentially, every time it rains, the groundwater level rises and in drought it lowers. Your pipes are set at the sanitary pipes are set at a certain elevation. Pipes leak. They get little cracks in them, the tree roots go in and create cracks and so on. The higher the groundwater level goes, the more water that's going to be pouring into the pipes and into your manholes as well. And a pretty big amount of leakage into any system is through the manholes. And the manholes are definitely the easiest piece to go and inspect. So, therefore, we put those two things together and said, we can not only give you your first computerized mapping and data system, but at the same time, we can go in and inspect these assets of yours, find out which are the worst, the biggest sinners, if you will, and then go in and, if you so choose, then you could make a decision to go and spend some money to repoint the brick or you know, replace the concrete, if you will. At the same time, total system inflow and infiltration is, what, about double? We see dry weather versus wet weather flows more or less double, if not more, right?
Yes.
Into the plant. Now, when you've got all that water flowing into the plant, yes, it's increasing my costs because of chemicals, but it's increasing your costs of electricity. In addition, you're starting to get close to some of your permit limits. And we all know how friendly the state can and can't be when they want to be. So this is more or less a first step for future planning, insurance, if you will, against environmental compliance issues.
Where do the costs come in this? Because most of this you're going to be doing in-house, your guys are going to be doing most of all this stuff, right?
Labor costs.
Labor costs. I mean, so it's pretty much labor costs.
Yeah, you have to go out physically to every manhole. I think there's almost 650 manholes throughout everywhere. So it's, you know,
labor intensive. Okay.
Then it would be GPS located.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Which, in the, you know, it could be used for first responders. You know, they could have, you know, if they have a laptop, they can have access to it. So if there's a spill or anything, you know, they can know right where manholes are. You can add on the storm sewers. You know, if there's a spill there, they can have access, you know, right at their hands on where everything is.
Is this something that can be done in stages, or does this have to be done?
Well, that would be the, this one that we're proposing is just the sewer collection system.
Mm-hmm.
Like the stormwater collection system, that can be added on, you know. we could check with the water company, gas company, if they already have the system. We could get the overlays, you know, for, you know, emergency management coordinators, and
mm-hmm.
they could have everything. They'll know where gas lines are, water lines, everything.
Right.
Right, but we're just trying to do a small piece
small
now.
Piece,
more or less, you know, again, we're it's a two-pronged effort. The first is data and mapping, getting that accurate. So we know the terminal points, and then you've got a pipe running in between, but we've got the terminal points fixed. We know the condition of those terminal points. Then if we know, then later on, if we start getting even closer to permitting limits on flows, that's when you start doing leak surveys to find out which areas are the worst. But then we've got these terminal points that we know now where they are, and we then take our video cameras and go from those points. But that's down the line a little bit. Again, this is just the first stage of what could be a long-range plan. And let's face it, these pipes like us aren't getting any younger, so they're only going to become more leaky, and you're going to want to do something at some point.
Dave, do you remember how much we lined when we did that?
Well, listen,
about
this,
half of them?
This is where I was going to go. We had three phases on I&I back earlier. Kevin might remember.
Mm-hmm.
We lined, we videoed sewer lines, and in an effort to save money, you know, we put the blue thing in, burned it up, and it stuck to the pipe, you know what I mean, so it wouldn't leak, patched it, I guess you could say. And it decreased our I&I immensely. I mean, it has decreased our I&I from to where we're at right now. And Kevin, I got to say this, your man Kevin right there, we had a major storm, and we're figuring, why is all this water coming out? Kevin actually got in the creek, walked up the creek. Remember you found that hole in the old siphon? They never sealed it. They had a hole about that big, and as soon as the water went up about 2 inches, where do you think that water went? Right down that pipe. So Kevin did a good job doing that. Kevin filled that in then. This switcher system that you're talking about right now, it's just going out and inspecting the manhole cover, I mean the manholes, and putting them on the computer where they're at, GPS, correct? So there's not going to be any work associated with it except to put it on the computer to say this is where we're at.
Well, and also evaluating the manholes themselves to see whether there could be some major inflows coming in through those structures themselves.
Okay, now, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, we did 200 inserts, and some of those you said you had to take out, right?
Because that was in one area, yes.
Okay. So by putting those in, we've actually decreased
a little bit, yes.
The flow too, right? And we have 200. You said we have 600 more. What would you a total of 600? What would you say? 75% of them should have them?
No.
50%?
I wouldn't go no more than 30 to 40%.
Okay, so that means we need another 70, let's say,
mm-hmm.
and strategically placed. Now, you guys put them in for us.
Yes.
Okay. How did you determine where to put them?
On the second round, we determined when we did our inspections, we went with ones that had holes in the manhole covers,
okay,
and the ones that were low-lying manholes. On the first phase, the engineer chose the area, and they chose an area to try to cut flow out going to the inverted siphon.
Okay.
And that's where we had the problems at.
And that area down there where the inverted siphon is.
Right, right.
What area is that,
Dave?
South Prospect.
Okay.
Now, also the system, we're taking all the work that was done in the 90s, all that data, all that work that was done, and it will be into this system.
See,
so you'll know.
You'll know what you fixed before, so we don't.
But
going back to that
right there, I mean, you guys would have to sit down and analyze that, and we're going to have to get charged for that. But going back to that, just before we had the sewer plant built, Kevin, you were there, you know how many studies that were done.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much money it cost the town. I'm not into spending money on something that we don't need.
We talked about hammering the lines ourselves, correct? Didn't we talk about that one time, Tim?
Yeah, that was part of it at one point in time.
Okay. If we did that ourselves, how much would we save rather than have you guys do it? I know this is kind of like a, you know... I'm looking to save money. I don't want to spend the money.
You're looking at a lot of man hours, so you'd have to have the man hours with the borough employees to do it. They'd have to go be trained on how to use the equipment and then rental all the equipment.
See, but there again, I'm sorry to break in.
How are we maintaining them now? How do we know where what manhole is now without it being on GPS or on the computer?
Well, we have a map. We know where everything is. The only thing that this system is getting, you know, your...
On the computer.
Well, no, it's saying, you know, somebody needs to know how deep this sewer line is. You know, we want to tie in, or it'll tell you exactly how deep it is without... Now, you know, the engineer would have to go out and measure, charge you to do that. It's taking all your data. Instead of having everything in a storage unit, and then when you need to find something, you got to spend hours looking for it, everything will be... You know, right at your fingertips.
The paper wears out.
Right.
We have it on a disk. So you're actually saving, we would be saving engineering, really.
Yeah, because if the engineer called, you know, say a couple of years down the road, you have an engineer that wants to do a flow study. You know, you would save a lot in hourly rates just having this system.
Do you find the maps that we have now are accurate?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yeah, because we've kept up with them. I've been there 20 some years, so I've kept up with the map.
The number of communities that says the manhole's here and you find it over there.
No,
that's no good. But yeah, well, you know, when you're dealing with 80, 100 year old documents, that's not unusual.
Right.
And that's what I was afraid we were looking at there, 80 and 100 year old maps.
We do have some of them.
I'm sure.
So that would cost us $7,000 a year for 6 years to have this done.
I'm more in favor of this because it saves engineering costs than energy savings now, especially since we have to wait anyway for the solar.
It's also going to probably cause us to spend more money because they're going to find problems.
Well, but a lot of them could be a real simple fix, and
hopefully.
But that's, you know, this is the point where we have to take a half a step back and say, how big of an issue do we have, and when do we want to start to address it? We know quantitatively how big of an issue we have. How close do we want to get to permit limits? That's a decision only you can make.
How close have we got to permit limits in the past?
The flow, we were only off by 10,000 gallons with being out of permit.
Is that the daily flow or is that for the month?
It's a three-month average.
A three-month average.
So that's 10,000 out of?
We were allowed 1.2 MGD.
So 10,000 out of a million is what, 1%?
1%.
Roughly?
We're like 1%.
You're getting pretty close. You know, normally...
Consistently, or is this a one-time event that we were...
No, what happens is the state, our permit's based off of a three-month rolling average on our flow.
Right.
So if we have a rainy event, say it's February, March, April, we had a lot of rain, the flows are up higher. And what happens is they calculate the monthly flow for 3 months.
Right.
So if you get 3 months exactly like that and you're over 1 point, I think it's 1.215 MGD, then we're in violation.
Now how...
I thought it was 1.5.
It's an 80%.
Oh,
it's
80%.
Okay, the state only allows you 80% of
your
flow.
Yeah, but I thought that was for... I must check into that. Because we're permitted for 1.5, correct?
1.5.
Okay, but we can handle 1.7, right?
We can handle 3.6,
all right,
no problem.
3.6. So if we're within a percent So we would have had to been doing what? We would have had to been doing 1.2 million gallons for 30 days?
Oh, yeah. We've had, during rainstorms, we've had a daily average of over 4 million gallons.
Okay, so...
For a 24-hour period.
For a 24-hour period.
Right.
Okay, 4 million gallons over a 24-hour period. So what... For us to be within 1% of what we're permitted for over a three-month average, we'd have to be running 4 million one day, 600,000 another day, you know, so it all averages out to...
Like I said, wow. I think it was 1 year we had a really wet year.
Okay. I think that's when we had all the problems over at Gardner's Court. So
right.
Last year wasn't too bad. So what we're talking about was kind of like the 100-year storm of 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
About 3 years ago.
Okay. My question to you is, by putting all this stuff on computers and checking out, you know, you can tell us what manhole needs to be mortared and throw bricks in there. How is that going to save us on our permitting if we don't get to it? If we still spend the $7,000.
Well, again, this is just a first phase of a many
phase
effort.
Right.
So,
do you know how many phases we've had for the collection system? We did three. Help me out here, Scott.
I know there's at least two phases of lining.
We had three phases
of lining the pipes.
And it costs us money.
Sure.
And I know that it would cost us money if we exceeded our permit. I understand that.
But it could also hurt us in the long run with if we continue to keep going up and there's any future development.
Well,
that could cut that right out.
Eventually it has to be done. The question is how soon.
Right. Right.
If we do the videoing and all of that sort of stuff, we get an idea of at least of what has to be done. And I know you'll hate this, Dave, and it can be phased in for the fixes, you know, from worst to best.
I mean, that could be years down the road, so.
Yeah.
You know.
And we could be in violation of our permit during that time. So, I mean, it's...
But we're one step.
One.
Yeah.
And from a financial standpoint, this would be paid for by the sewer budget.
That's correct.
Okay, and our surplus, our fund balance in there is looking pretty healthy.
Yeah.
And that's the point that I want to get to. If you can't sing there, we need to cut those rates.
Well, the point I'm making is that we have the money, the fund balance looks like it's going to, you know, continue to increase, so we could have it from there with really no impact other than on the fund balance and not on the price. But, you know, it wouldn't allow for a lowering of the
sewer rate. Okay, let me think real long and hard about this. No.
If you wanted to consider, I heard some questions about the mapping itself. Maybe we can split this and say, okay, we will deal with the existing paper maps. We'll just do the inspections so that we've got a gauge on the conditions.
That's good.
You know, we can. You know, I'm not for, you know, jamming anything down anybody's throat. You know, at the same time, we may want to collect some data for you and gauge that 80%.
Yeah.
As a flat line and see how we're ranking over the past few years and keep a running total so you see how close you're getting, how frequently we're getting close. If it's once every 5 years, then we'll keep rolling the dice.
Let me see if I understand what you're saying. If I hear what you're saying, you're going to give us until the end of the year with these prices.
No.
So you get us the data.
Inflation's relatively low these days. That's what I will.
Oh,
tell you.
Prices go up.
Well, this is just, it would be just added on to the monthly fee. So the $7,000 would be divided out over the, you know, 12-month period.
Right. That's how we're paying for the headworks.
That's how the headworks are being paid. And, it, you know, it's interest-free.
And how long is it going to take us to pay the headworks?
Six years.
We paid a year on it, right?
Right.
Yeah. What are we paying? $26,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so add another $7,000 to that. That's $33,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I still think that we should find out how much money we're going to save in engineering costs. Because we can compare that
That's going to be tough, because that's going to be variable in your year. Yeah, I mean, you can get a reasonable number, but nothing you can guarantee.
Right.
And if someone's connecting into the sewer, most of those fees are paid out of their escrow. It's not something the taxpayers are putting the bill for.
That's why I want to know how much engineering money you would save the borough. But
did you hear, you want to say that again? Come down to escrow?
The fees for an engineer, if he's going out to look, like you had explained before,
right,
someone connecting to the sewer, those fees that the engineer has paid come out of the applicant's escrow.
Doesn't cost us any money.
Does not cost the taxpayer money, right. Now, if he did a flow study for the borough, that would cost the taxpayer money.
Right. Or what you could do is add on to, instead of having the engineer go out there, we could pull it up off this and use that fee to repay out of the escrow account to repay the system back.
For the cost of the GIS?
Right. Say you have a homeowner, it's going to cost you $500 for the engineer.
Right.
And all we have to do is pull it up, give them the information, make that person pay the $500 in the escrow fee to the sewer utilities to pay the unit back.
So there's not going to be a whole lot of people that are going to be paying $500 because our build-out is limited.
Right.
So
true.
Right now we're collecting money from Washington Square. They're the biggest connectors to the sewer system right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 60% built, right?
About that.
Yeah.
I would entertain going back and taking that $7,000 number there and looking at that to check the manholes without the GIS system here to give us this one needs to be fixed, or this one needs to be fixed, or this, that, or the other thing right there, in an effort to cut costs. If you could rework up some numbers for that,
mm-hmm,
for like total inspection of the manhole.
Okay. And then with your DPW folks, you may be able to do that in-house, some of the repairs. I don't know.
Well, I know they do the stormwater collection.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's all basically the same skill set, so I would assume they can easily.
Only it smells a whole lot worse.
No.
You're hitting us hard.
Well, you know, listen, I like you guys. I really do, believe it or not.
I know.
I can't say enough that you guys have performed with that sewer plan.
Imagine what it'd be like if he didn't like you.
Yeah.
You know, higher than expectations. And I truly do appreciate that. But we have to look at what it's going to cost the people who live here.
Sure.
And just so you know, I was against the headmaster. But anyway, if you can do that, I would appreciate that. But right now, I can't see the energy spending $120,000 over the next 6 years, and are we going to save $120,000? If we save $120,000 over the next 6 years, guess what? It's a wash.
Mm-hmm.
Where if we didn't pay the $120,000 and we can save $140,000 over the next year, 6 years, we've got $120,000 in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at it from our standpoint, please. And Kevin, publicly, I want to say you did a great job with your inspection on the day after Christmas.
Thank you.
I'm exhausted.
Anything else? Thank you.
So for now, it's more or less, we've tabled the energy efficiency totally.
Yes.
And we'll come back to you with some numbers on inspections only.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I would like you to do that before the 120 days are up.
He said he'll give you.
Oh, well, wait a minute.
Well, no, I think near the end of the year. That's on tape.
No, come on.
Okay, sometime before the. So what do we got? We got about 2 months, 2.5 months left, right? So we're
just under 2.
In a month?
2 months, 3 months.
No, if you want, I can come back next month. In the meantime, we can get something to you, certainly before your first meeting in March. That's for sure.
Yeah, if you have it worked up, could you get it to Christine prior so that everybody can take a look?
Certainly, yeah. We'll give you plenty of time.
Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests. On up to the... If you give your name and address for the record, please, sir.
Sure. Thank you for recognizing me. Joel Schnetzer, Cemetery Hill Road. I am not a borough resident. I am a Washington Township resident. I humbly stand before you, and I am curious if the town, the borough, is happy with a $2.4 million payment every year to the Washington Township for police coverage. I personally, as a township resident, think that we are all paying too much for police coverage. I did an open request to get the police salary totals for Washington Township for the department, and that value was $3.1 million. I have tried, and I think I will get, the total expenses of what it costs to have the police department operate for a year, excluding Oxford. I haven't got that yet. As a businessman, I was very curious to see that salary and wages are $3.1 million and Washington Borough has to pay us $2.4 million. At last year's budget meeting, this was promoted to the township residents of Washington as a benefit to look what Washington Borough has to pay us for a shared service agreement. I jumped right up and said to our township, just because we received $2.4 million doesn't mean it didn't cost us anything to provide service to the borough. So, I am on the outside looking in. I have no experience running a police department. The only thing I have experience is watching Washington Township taxes, the municipal portion, continue to rise. I am a very outspoken critic of the size of the police departments. I am not saying we don't need police departments, but when I see the amount of vehicles that we own at Washington Township, I had a personal meeting with the chief, and I was told that we were going to start to reduce vehicles. We haven't reduced any. Matter of fact, at the last month, we bought another one. The month before that, I believe we bought one also, but don't hold me to that. Last month, we bought a Tahoe. We also took in possession the vehicle that Warren County turned down. We now have that in Washington Township.
What vehicle is that, sir?
That is the one that I don't like to use nicknames. It was called the War Wagon.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought you were going to.
Okay.
I just want to make sure.
I really wish I didn't have to stand before you and tell you that we are now the owner of that. I was not in favor of that. So I'm just, I appreciate you recognizing me. I wanted to make it clear that I'm not a borough resident, but I also want to make it very clear that as a township resident, I think the police department is out of hand. I think it is too large, and I just wanted to come before you. So thank you very much.
Mr. Snatcher, I have a question. You said you overed the salaries and it totaled $3.1 million for salaries, and that included the benefits?
That's where I have to say my experience here is limited. I don't think that included the benefits. I think that was salary and wages for the police operating. And I apologize. I am a farmer. Mm-hmm. And I ran out tonight to get here on time, and I could have easily brought those with me, and I never gave it a thought.
I would actually be interested in
I think
what
you, would
you
be.
Got.
I think you would.
$3.1 million.
With all of them.
I advocated for the general taxpayers of whether it's the borough, Oxford, or Washington Township at many meetings at Washington Township. I've been going every month. Not to be a problem. I want to know what we're paying for.
Did you bring any of this up at a township meeting where it's on record in the audience portion like
as
this?
What questions?
Well, as for, say the budget, why it's so high, you know, any of these things?
Yes.
Okay, so that's in their minutes.
Yeah. I forget exactly.
That's all right. The $3.1 million. I would be interested in seeing what you received that said $3.1 million. If you could get that to the manager, Ms. Blanchardger, I would definitely be interested. I sit on that shared services committee. And the numbers that you just said
3.1,
mm-hmm.
and not the numbers that I have.
But then, Dave, too. Also, the 2.4 million was the budgeted amount. So, right now, that's going to, you know, right now, that's just the budgeted amount. So, you know, that's not an approved
amount. It wasn't 2.4.
He said 2.4.
I understand that. That's why your numbers are a little different than the numbers that I have.
Right.
Last year was actually 2.2. So that's a difference of $200,000. And please don't think I'm making light of it.
Oh, you're not, because okay. Please, I am a complete beginner here. Okay. So,
you're doing good.
But I'm interested in the 3.4.
My motivation is, again,
mm-hmm.
I don't have anything personal against the police department.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, as a taxpayer, I feel it's too much. Now, if I'm proven wrong, I can take that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't stress enough that when I stood before the committee last, I'm going to say June or July, because there was a request from the borough to see some numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, but I kept using the 2.4 because I believe that was what was on the pie graph when our budget was sold to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if I was the borough, and this is exactly my statement, if I was the borough, because I just took $2.4 million and divided by 365 days, I said, I'd want to know where $6,700 a day was going. Now, if we need to spend $6,700 every single day for police coverage in the borough, I want to know that. But that's a lot of money.
If I can break it, we split the cost with the township. So, you know, you're talking about 3.1 million or 2.4 was actually 2.2. So what we split with them is 4.4 million. Based on what we have from last year's numbers, it's
okay.
Actually 4.4 million. Now, included in that are the salaries, the benefits, health, retirement, and all those benefits, vehicle operation, vehicle maintenance. There's a whole crossing guards we pay for, so you could take like $140,000 out of that 2.2. that we pay strictly for the crossing guards, because they do the work here in the borough. There's a lot of things that are included in that contract. So if you take into consideration what Oxford is paying, that $4.2 million might be 4.5, actually it's probably what, closer to $5 million a year? That's why I'd be interested in seeing where you got the 3.1. And if you can get that information to Ms. Blanchard, I would greatly appreciate that.
Okay, I will do that. And I just hope, since I don't have it in front of me, that my memory's right on the 3.1. But I was pretty.
That's
we'll
okay.
forgive you if you're off by a little bit.
I was knocked back quite a bit. And the real motivation I have for all this is just to bring out more communication between the shared service participants. Because I have a very deep suspicion that things could be a little more transparent than they are. I'm going to leave it with that. And again, I thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you for bringing it to us.
Thank you.
Just so you know, we're going to be talking about that later on in the agenda, as much as we can in public.
Is there anyone else for the audience portion? Hearing none, I'd accept a motion to close.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? That brings us to ordinances. Ordinance 1-2013 for introduction.
So moved, and that's clerk read by title only.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion on this?
This is
only
introduced. We have to read by title first.
You have to introduce the title first.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we can do it.
Hmm.
Okay, roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Glava?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Conner?
Yes.
Ordinance 1-2013, an ordinance establishing Recreation Department program fees.
Okay.
Now we're going to have a discussion.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Name you
so this is because they want to add these. I mean, we're not going to keep having to pay for ordinances every time they want to do a new program. I mean,
well, no, I do discuss that with them.
Okay, because it does cost money to do these. That's why we.
Thankfully, this is a very small one, so this advertising cost is only about $40
altogether. Okay, all right. Yeah, I mean, I don't want them to keep coming up because they think of a new program.
Yeah, every 3 months, a new program and a new ordinance change.
Right.
Rob?
Yeah, there's no one here from the rec tonight?
No.
Why don't we just wait on this ordinance? I'll propose a motion that we wait on this ordinance until someone from recreation comes here before us to explain, you know, why they're doing this separate from the other fees. And
well, I think I had explained it in my manager's report. I spoke with the recreation director, and they wanted to introduce this for men's softball, specifically at the Borough Park field. They have an opportunity to gather some teams to play under the lights.
How come they're not here tonight? That's all my question is. They're not here?
Well, this is only an introduction.
They don't have to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was necessary for them to be here, quite honestly.
For discussion.
Okay. And then they're asking for what? You got it 60 days before it can be approved.
Sure.
So we're talking February, March, and April. We're into April, right? So
mm-hmm. And it's a spring sport.
So you got to advertise it 30 days.
Mm-hmm. No, we advertise, we have to advertise 10 days prior to adoption. So by the time we advertise, public hearing won't be until March 5th. And then we have 20 days after.
Mm-hmm. But they want to do it immediately.
No, I'm making them follow the process.
I know, but it says they want it to take effect. It's right on there. It says take effect immediately.
After final passage.
After final passage. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So for April, then.
So that they can get the funds
for right, the season. They got to sign up and all that, so get some money.
Recreation will be here on the 19th if you'd like to discuss it with them.
Yeah.
I recommend that they come to talk about their capital project.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is introduction.
No.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm still making my motion or whatever.
I'll take back my motion. That's
okay. Okay. Any other discussion?
What was the motion?
Well, I mean, I'm continuing. Councilman Torres is suggesting we table this,
right.
And I'm not taking back my.
I took that back.
On first reading.
First reading.
So now we need a motion to approve on first reading.
Right.
So,
okay.
If you don't want it approved on the first reading, you have to vote no.
Exactly.
I don't have a problem with it.
All right. I'm going to make the motion.
I don't either.
Mm-hmm.
To approve on
the first reading.
Second.
Any other discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Leva?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Conway?
Yes.
Public hearing of Ordinance 1-2013 will be March 5th, 2013, and advertisement of the public hearing in Star Gazette on February 14th, 2013.
So moved.
There a second?
No second.
Okay, any other discussion? And a roll call on that, please.
Hagan?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Conner?
Yes.
Okay, that moves us on to reports.
Take a motion to receive and file the reports as presented.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of the reports?
I had a question on the fire department one. Just out of curiosity, I probably ask it every year. Because when we add new members, the reason that we pass adding the members is so that they get added to the insurance.
That's correct.
Do you ever look at, like, the list to make sure it's just a current list of active members, like we take off all the inactive members?
Yeah, every year we go through our list because we pull the abstract for the driving record.
Okay.
So we just did it today, as a matter of fact.
All right, so that is done.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we have like 70 people
no,
listed.
No, we go to the fire department and the squad.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports.
Oh, boy, then.
Mr. Hagan, sounds like you're chopping at the bit.
I thought
you were exhausted.
I am exhausted. I'm rejuvenated.
Okay. You had your 5 hour energy.
I'm rejuvenated. All right, listen, Councilman Torres and I met with the township representatives for the shared services, and it was a relatively quick meeting. They gave us a printout of things we didn't ask for,
And we'll have to discuss this in executive session because it deals with contract negotiations. But just a quick overview. Let's see here. They talked about how they paid for their insurance. They go out, they were kind of like reinsurance every year. So they're looking to save money there.
They have a three-tier.
It's a three-tier system. Yeah.
That's it.
They did tell us in an effort to save money this year, they leased vehicles instead of purchase them outright. So the cost, two vehicles, I think they said. They leased those and it saved us money. There's some things that they want added to the contract, and that's why we need to go into executive session to discuss that. And overall, what they presented to us was really not what we asked for in the last meeting in November, because they hadn't had their financial statement completed yet by their auditor, because he was doing the county. I'm a little disappointed in that again, we're still asking for some numbers, and they didn't provide them when they said they were going to. So there are some things that we need to talk about in executive session when it comes to this right here. And I can give you a better picture then. But it was a quick meeting. It was a cordial meeting. And you'll be interested in what they had to say.
I noticed you didn't say a productive meeting.
I said it was an interesting meeting. It was a cordial meeting, and it was a quick meeting. Yes.
What you don't say is just as telling sometimes.
Pardon me?
What you don't say is just as telling sometimes.
I'm beat again.
Gotcha.
Oh, I'm going to get really, really beat.
Okay.
I just want to say, add it to what Councilman Higgins said, too, was that they did say that these numbers are very tentative that they're giving us, because this is even before it was presented at their budget meeting. They didn't have as yet. So this was everything that we're going to be sharing, even in exec, will be tentative numbers.
Well, so it's I not expect what we by this time. Did they send you anything new, Christine, other than what we talked about at that meeting? No?
No. Kevin McCarthy reached out to me on Friday and said that he would touch base with me this week with some more, with firmer numbers. Their auditors are in there working right now on the AFS, which, you know, is due by February 10th. All the AFS is on.
Right. The annual financial statement. And that's what we're waiting for.
Yeah.
But we can go in. There's a number of things we can discuss.
Okay. Any other committee reports?
It's kind of like the sewer plant.
Okay. We have no old business, so that would bring us to new business of Resolution 3213 for the renewal of the agreement with the Pollution Control and Financing Authority.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Higgins?
Yes.
Leila?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Short?
Yes. Okay. Vouchers.
Make a motion we pay the bills.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on any of the bills?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Page 6.
You know, my head always goes that way when we do this.
Mine too, Scott. I'm teasing.
Oh, no, she didn't.
This is easy to read.
Page 6.
I like this.
But now, this system was supposed to be designed for us to read, right?
Mm-hmm.
Page 6 there. We're paying from Public Works, we're paying the electric bill?
No. Let me start this conversation off by saying that as I went through the bill list yesterday, I noticed that there are two spots. If you go to page 3, you'll see under telephone, there's a charge for book and advanced auto parts.
Yeah.
That and the charge for JCP&L under DPW are in the wrong spot. The bills need to be paid. Once they're paid, we're going to move them to the right budget department. We can give you a new list.
Can you just give us a report that generates the changes?
I don't know if I can just give a report that generates the changes. I may have to run the whole list again, but but we will give you a new builder. We're still acclimating in the finance department to getting this right, and this is a mistake that was made, so we could catch it yesterday. So that's why you see that there, Dave.
Okay, I figured it was just misplaced. Now, I thought this report, this was going to show us what's left in that account. I thought we were going to have a running balance, a running total. This is what we paid.
A year-to-date balance on, by department?
Yeah. Or by line item. I thought we were going to get a running balance. I'll just stop and see Natasha about that, but it looks pretty good. But what page is that, Dick?
Page two.
Page two.
This is town gas. There's two bills for library.
What page is that?
Page two at the bottom. Elizabeth Town Gas.
Mm-hmm. We're the same date. Wait a second. No, it's two different months.
Two different months. Sorry.
January 1st.
And that is the only thing I could find.
Did we not say, do you recall, if we were going to have a run total by vendor of what we paid on our billings to?
Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to have an item that said, listen, this is what we budgeted, this is what we paid them, this is our balance.
Right.
Okay.
Wasn't it?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right.
We're good.
We'll start working on that.
Any other discussion?
Department.
Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes, and I abstain for anything that has to do with the fire department. If I'm an inactive member, how long do I have to keep? I'll ask that question.
Yeah.
Weaver?
Yes, except for finale. We had his name on there, but just in case.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Thompson?
Everything but fire department.
Brings us back to our recap. What do we have on your list?
Right now, I'll follow up with Gary, see if he's prepared for February 19th. Get the solar agreement information as far as what the savings will be on electricity. And I guess the liquidated damages, and what was your question? They were going to pay the electric.
Yeah, they were going to pay. If they couldn't provide us with 75% of our electricity, that they would pay that.
Alright, so we'll get copies of that to you.
Don't email me.
No. Still?
Really?
We'll get the information from Veolia for March regarding their new proposal. And we'll work on the bill list. We have some tweaking to do there. That's what I have.
Okay. And that brings us to council remarks. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to start off. We had an incident at Albia a little while ago that you're all aware of. I just wanted to kind of give you an update as to what may have happened behind the scenes that you all may not be aware of. It started off with, I got a text from my daughter who's in the high school asking why she's in lockdown. So first thing I did, I texted Christine, what's going on? You know, I had heard from my daughter a couple of different rumors that were going around. Christine didn't know at the point. We each turned on scanners, found out it was something at Albia, and eventually found out that there was the potential of a shooter being there. And that, you know, Warren County was there, the police were there, and everything was going on. Christine and I were in almost constant contact for the next hour or so, figuring out what's going on, what we're going to do, how we're going to handle it. I instructed her to tell the staff and to reach out to all members of council that if you are contacted by the media, defer all comments to the Washington Township Police Department, because we really didn't know exactly what was going on, and the worst thing that could happen is somebody saying something that they didn't really mean or spreading a rumor that turned out to be untrue. So that's why we didn't want anybody talking to the media until we actually knew exactly what was going on. Christine was concerned about the staff as to whether she should lock the front door or not. I told her that she was the closest one to it, and that was her decision to make, and, you know, do whatever was necessary to ensure the safety
of our people, and I believe you did lock the door for a little while, correct?
I did.
Further than that, Christine gave me a call and let me know that the fire hall was going to be used to bring the people from Albia who had been outside for about 2 or 3 hours at this point on a 40-degree day, many without coats. I'm going to bring them into the fire hall and it has them there for a little bit. I asked her if we still had the water and the crackers and things like that left over from the Superstorm Sandy when we were at the warming center. She said we did still have it, so I instructed her to get that into the fire hall for all of them too, because I'm sure they haven't had anything to eat for a while. Christine, Kurt Klausfelder, my daughter, and myself went in there about 3:30, I guess, set up tables and chairs for everybody. You know, that room was pretty much packed. Did what we could to ensure their comfort. They were there for about an hour, I guess,
yeah.
And then they were all told that they were going back. The four who I mentioned before, Rick Monas, some members of the Warren County Prosecutor's Office and the Washington Township Police Department helped us all break down and clean up and get everything settled, things of that nature. Also during the process, I called Lance Rosa, our superintendent, to find out that he was in lockdown, told him about not talking to the press, which he already knew and had instructed all his people to do. And I got in touch with Mike Kovacs, the former Washington Township mayor, as I didn't have the number for the current mayor. Discussed with him what we were doing. He agreed that he was going to call all his council members, let them know what was going on. Subsequently, I did receive a call from the township mayor, and we were all on the same page. It all ended. There was really no imminent threat. The Township Police Department and Warren County Prosecutor's Office handled it admirably. I think everything worked out very well. I would like to thank, you know, Christine, Kurt Klausfelder, Rick Monas, my daughter, and the others who helped set up and take down, you know, for them. The people there were very grateful just to be able to get warm, get something to drink, and something to eat, even if it was nothing more than peanut butter crackers. But it was something. And I just wanted to make you all aware of the process that was going on behind the scenes that you may not have been aware of. It's not a case that we let Washington Township do everything, but we, you know, we were on top of it, you know, as soon as we found out.
Bottom line, there was no shooter.
There was no shooter, but there was a threat, and they made sure that everything was clear before Albia, you know, the employees went back. We since have not heard anything from Albia that I am aware of, but that's all I know about it, and that's all I have. Mrs. Gleba.
I have absolutely nothing.
Good for you.
I think that's perfect.
Mr. Torres.
Yeah, I have one thing. Additionally to the police shared services, this is just like an auxiliary thing. I had gone to the chief from the last meeting that we had. He had asked me to email some stuff. I never had a chance. So I went over and met with him face-to-face. and through that discussion, I guess part of the problem that was presented was the lack of good PR for the township police. So in an effort to facilitate a better PR, I took the initiative to go over to the Express Times and speak with them over there. Because what happened, I guess they have had a problem in the past with generating press releases and then getting them over to the Express Times and then actually getting them published. So I met with an editor over there. I gave him lieutenant's email, told the lieutenant. He said he will start to get these more organized and get them over there faster. And supposedly Express Times editor are going to be putting these in, because a police blotter page, you'd see Mansfield Police, Hillsburg Police, and they'll show arrests, 10 people DWI, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? It looks like, from their viewpoint, nothing has happened. The police aren't doing anything.
Well, actually, they're out there doing stuff. We really don't know that much. So we do want to know. So, of course, you know, this is going to help with that. So they did, I guess, 2 weeks ago, in the Warren Reporter, the Express Times also publishes, they produced the Washington Township Police events of, I guess it was the week or the month, I'm not sure. But it was kind of extensive. And they included, of course, Washington Borough and Washington Township. They did mention to me that the Washington Township Police, in addition to these press releases, does have their own Facebook page. So I want to just get that out there so people know. That's it. That's all I have.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Garvin?
I have nothing.
Okay. Mr. Higgins?
Financial disclosure forms. We have to do those online.
You
can't do it.
In March.
We can't do those paper.
Can't do the paper, no. I'll give you your information, but you'll have to do them in March online.
Yeah, we mind this, but we have nothing right now, right?
No, we have nothing right
okay.
now. They're implementing the program.
Right.
I think they said mid-March.
I'm thinking early March, but
yeah.
They'll
let us know.
Is our financial, annual financial statement going to be done by the 10th?
Absolutely. It's almost done. We're
okay.
Almost, yeah.
Is he going to come present it?
The AFS? No, he usually doesn't. We're in great shape. Natasha and I will present it to you.
Okay. That's all right. Just
we're in great shape.
We
I'm
are.
A fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm serious. We are. It's not final yet, so.
So we don't have to take it out of pants.
No, we do not have to take it out of pants.
Woo!
Yes.
Now, all right, I'm happy. I'm going to leave everything else for another time.
Yeah,
exactly. It's so executive.
Yeah, right. It's so
exact.
Well, that takes care of it. Then I guess we will pass Resolution 33-2013, authorizing an executive session for contract negotiations after a 10-minute break.
Hey,
ten
I'm
minute
there.
Break.
Don't move.
Ooh.